Beloved friends, welcome and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus as we turn again to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where the blessed words we read, "For God hath made Christ sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." The third and the last fact that we would note in regard to God the Father in our text is the revelation of the grace of God. We have noted his sovereignty. We have noted his justice. Now we note the grace of God. For note the words, the closing words of our text. All this God has done through Christ, that we, emphasize the pronoun we, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now this is God's grace. No better definition could be given for the word grace than to say it means God's unmerited favor. In other words, we positively, absolutely do not deserve it. For salvation is by grace. We know the words of Ephesians 2:8-9 well, I hope. For we are saved by grace, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Is it not also written, and we quote the words of Ephesians chapter 1:6, that we who are saved are to be, now note, to the praise of the glory of his grace. His salvation that he offers is by his grace. And that same grace also declares that we who are saved are so redeemed to the praise and the glory of his grace. And third, it is written in Ephesians chapter 2:7, that in the ages to come, God might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, beloved, the joy of knowing, saved by grace, saved for the glory of his grace, saved that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace as he has shown it toward us in his kindness through Christ Jesus. Well, as the poet written the lovely old hymn, I quote only one verse. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. Ah, my beloved, let me recapitulate what we have noted regarding facts about God the Father. We have noted the sovereignty of God. We have noted the justice of God, satisfied with Jesus and his death, completely paying the penalty for our sins. And now we have noted his great grace. May the Holy Spirit write these facts upon our hearts with an eternal, indelible pen. Now we come further in our scripture to consider three facts concerning God the Son. First of all, we would consider from our text his impeccability, the incorruptible character of the blessed Son of God. Note the words. Paul writes it saying, "Who knew no sin?" This Paul declares in our verse, he knew no sin. Peter in his epistle, chapter 2, Peter has written in verse 22, he did no sin. The beloved apostle John has declared in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, in him was no sin. Let me repeat it, please. Three facts, two stated by Paul, one by Peter. Paul said he knew no sin. Peter declares he did no sin. Or rather, John is the third one, and he declares There was no sin in him. In him was no sin. Please let me say again, take it home. Here is Paul, here is Peter, here is John, each of them declaring, no sin. No sin in him. No sin done by him. No sin known by him. Yes, as written in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And then may I go further, please? Did you ever notice that there were four people at the time when the Lord Jesus was crucified? There were four people who testified to his sinless character. Do you remember that Pilate's wife wrote him a note telling him to have nothing to do with this just man? She testified, this is the just one. Matthew 27, verse 19. You know well that Pilate had to confess and did. I find no fault in him at all. Luke 23 and verse 4. You also know that the dying thief confessed. This man, referring to Jesus upon the cross, this man hath done nothing amiss. Luke 23:41. You may also remember that the Roman centurion in charge of the crucifixion, as he watched the sight, as he saw it come to its dramatic end, declared, certainly this was a righteous man. Luke 23 and verse 47. Oh, may I repeat, the testimony of Paul, of Peter, and of John, the testimony of Pilate's wife, Pilate himself, the dying thief, the Roman centurion. Here was one who was impeccable, meaning incorruptible indeed, no sin. But then we have another statement regarding his sufferings that are to be noted. He was made sin, we read. Now this is a comprehensive expression, taking in all the sufferings of Christ. And first let me state, before he even went to the cross, he suffered in sympathy with the human race. What sorrows and sufferings he saw and he felt then, carrying our griefs and our sorrows even in sympathy. He also suffered in anticipation. You recall the agony that was his in the Garden of Eden. And who can understand the agony of soul that was his, anticipating the death of the cross, as he alone could and did. But then listen, please. Listen very carefully regarding that suffering. Not only the sufferings of Christ while he is born, but when he died, God's justice had demanded for sin, whatever he demanded for sin and its payment, Jesus paid it in full. What God demanded under the law for sin, Jesus paid the penalty. What God demanded in judgment, Jesus paid it in full. Who can ever explore the ocean of suffering that was his? My beloved, there are three great oceans. If you would try to explore them, if you would try to know the seriousness and the consequences of man's sin, three great oceans that you can explore. Let me name them. The ocean of human suffering, from the beginning of time to the end of time. All the human tragedies, the sorrows, the troubles, the disasters, the wars, the sicknesses, the catastrophes, all through the history and the conditions even down today of humanity, all having been caused by man's sin. My beloved, it's an impossibility to explore the ocean and discover all the sufferings that man's sin has brought into the world and into the human race. The second great ocean is the ocean of Christ's sufferings upon the cross. The poet wrote the lovely words, none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. My beloved, let me humbly but faithfully state, the depths of the ocean of sufferings that the Lord Jesus bore on the cross, they can never be known by you, they shall never be known by me. They are known only in their fullness and completeness by God the Father, by God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. To them, the great Godhead, the ocean of Christ's sufferings, are perfectly known, but they will never be known by you and me in their fullness. Then there is a third ocean. And may I say it very reverently and sadly and seriously. There is an ocean of eternal hell, which is coming. An eternity of suffering that never ends, which will be the portion of all who are lost. We read in Revelation 14:11, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. My beloved, let us do some serious thinking, remembering the sufferings of Christ on the cross. All the eternal sufferings that your soul and mind deserves in eternal hell, Jesus suffered upon the tree. Well, might we say, hallelujah, what a Savior. But there is a third great fact we read in our text regarding Christ, and that is the merit of Christ for our salvation, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, to think and to know, to rejoice in such a blessed fact, that you and I, hell deserving sinners, when Christ becomes ours, we are made, we become the righteousness of God in Him. I stand upon His merit. I know no other stand, not e'en where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land, wrote the poet. My beloved, let me recapitulate briefly but quickly the three facts that God gives to us here concerning His Son. First of all, let me mention the fact we saw the sovereignty of God the Father, His justice and His grace. Then concerning the blessed Son, His impeccability, incorruptible character, and His suffering, second. And third, His great merit. How precious are these truths! Just to prove and to show to you and to me God's great work of reconciliation. Now, my beloved friend, if you're unsaved, thank God, humbly I say it, but gratefully, I am an ambassador of Christ, and I beseech you, as God bids me, be ye reconciled to God, because God hath made Christ sacrificially as an offering for sin for you and me, the one who knew no sin, that you and I might be made or become the righteousness of God in Him. Beloved and blessed Father, we thank Thee for Thy lovely Son. May the Holy Spirit reveal Him to some dear sinner right now, who will fall at His feet and the Savior receive for His name's sake. Amen.